This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode, Feeling Your Age. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. As we age, our mental health can take a hit. Anxiety over health issues, sadness over losing friends and loved ones. Liz Tung has been looking into mental health issues among Chinese seniors. Hey, Liz.
Hey, Maiken. So there's new research from the population study of Chinese elderly. It's one of the biggest epidemiological studies on Chinese seniors ever done in a Western country.
So those are Chinese people living in the U.S.?
Right. And I talked to the lead researcher. His name's Xingqi Dong. He works at Rutgers University in New Jersey. And he says what they found about the mental health of Chinese seniors really surprised him.
Tremendous amount of depression, anxiety, sense of hopelessness, stress, as well as suicidal ideations from the data that we collect. Some of those numbers are much higher than we anticipate.
Why was he surprised? What part of this did he not anticipate?
So there's been this kind of popular idea that Asian seniors are better off because of this cultural value called filial piety. It's a concept that comes from Confucianism, started in China, and it puts a really strong emphasis on adult children really revering and taking care of their parents.
You're respected, you're loved, your kids are taking care of you, and all of that protects your mental health and well-being.
Right, exactly. But researchers like Xingqi say there's also a flip side. For instance, they found that Chinese seniors who don't receive filial piety are really a lot worse off. And that's something they've been seeing here in the U.S. with adult children who don't grow up with these ideas of filial piety.
So do the researchers think that this disconnect between expectations and what's actually happening could be contributing to high rates of mental health issues among older Chinese people?
Yeah, so Xingqi told me that definitely seems to be a big factor in what they're seeing. But he said another problem that seems to be compounding that is that a lot of older Asian people aren't going out to get help. And he says that's because there is a lot of stigma and misinformation around mental health issues in Chinese culture.
There's a great shame and misbelief that are associated with having mental illnesses. There are many sayings in Chinese that people don't want to air their quote-unquote dirty laundry to others.
So it sounds like there is a need for mental health treatment, but people are not seeking it out.
Yeah, so I was looking around to find out if anybody is working on this problem, and I connected with a reporter in New York. His name's Jad Slayman, and he recently found a senior center in Flushing, which is this heavily Chinese neighborhood in Queens, that's trying out a creative solution to the problem. And what's really cool about it is their solution doesn't fight against traditional Chinese ideas. It works with them to connect people with mental health treatment. So Jad headed to a place called the Self-Help Senior Center to find out more.
This senior center is bursting with activity. Older New Yorkers, most of them Chinese, stop in for a meal, computer classes, or just to socialize. In one room, two dozen or so Asian seniors practice Tai Chi. Elsewhere, members sing and play traditional Chinese instruments as they rehearse a type of opera. But Jane Chu, the program director here, tells me the seniors weren't always so engaged.
And some members, when they came here, is so sad and just crying. And now they are just involved into all the activities, smiling. You can see the faces here. Just a few couch potatoes.
That's 66-year-old Yu Fen. She used to be one of those couch potatoes Jane mentioned, spending her days sitting by the wall, watching others go by.
I felt like I couldn't find the power to keep living. I would sit on that bench outside with tears rolling down my cheeks. I didn't want to eat, couldn't sleep.
Yu Fen moved to Flushing, Queens 2 years ago, from Beijing. Growing up, she was the eldest of three siblings by 10 years. Her parents died very young, and she took care of her brother and sister, never starting a family of her own or marrying. So when she retired, she figured she'd come to New York, where her sister was working long hours as a health aide. Yufen thought she could help out around the house to make things easier for her sister and her brother-in-law, but that's not how things worked out.
After living with my younger sister and brother-in-law for a while, I started to feel like something wasn't right. I'd been doing so much for them around the house, but I started to feel like I wasn't welcome. I had always thought that they needed me, but now suddenly it occurred to me, my family doesn't need me.
Yufen felt she was getting in the way, unwanted.
I had no confidence. It was like, what kind of life was I waiting for? I once got so angry, I just said, I would rather die than go back to them. I'd rather die than go back. I started feeling like I was in a swamp, like I would drown if I didn't find a way out.
That's when Yufen's sister started taking her to the senior center to cheer her up. There, Yufen saw a poster advertising a kind of skills training class.
I was hoping and praying for help. Then I was introduced to this teacher who was able to listen to the burdens in my heart.
Notice Yufen doesn't use the word counselor or social worker. She says she met a Lao Shur, teacher. And that's by design. Officials with the New York City Department of Aging had learned early on that putting up basic ads for mental health services, therapist on site, Tuesday at 10, didn't work. There was too much stigma, too little familiarity among seniors, especially among Asian immigrants. So at the senior center in Flushing, they decided to try a specific kind of therapy that has roots in Buddhist teachings.
What I did was to translate Zen mindfulness practice into behavioral language.
This is Marcia Linehan, who developed an approach called dialectical behavior therapy, or DBT. In the late 70s, she was researching ways of treating highly suicidal patients. Many of them had a mental illness called borderline personality disorder. It's marked by unstable moods and low self-image. It's very difficult to treat since those suffering from it often perceive everything, even an attempt at therapy, as distressing criticism.
And they would either get angry at me, hide behind a chair, storm out, quit therapy.
She wanted her patients to identify damaging thought patterns and attitudes, but without becoming too distressed to continue therapy. And it was during a visit to a Buddhist monastery that Marcia had a light bulb moment.
Within days, I knew that I had found exactly what my clients needed. The basic message was all the time to try to radically accept everything. So it was this whole practice of just constantly, moment by moment, letting go of what you want and radically accepting what is.
This was the birth of dialectical behavior therapy. Acceptance of what's happening, accepting your own thoughts and feelings, that comes first. DBT also focuses on how to say no or ask for help, and learning emotional regulation, avoiding extreme sadness or anger.
Dialectical behavior therapy informal treatment is really helpful because incorporate the mindfulness part, which a lot of seniors already practice, for example, Tai Chi or Qigong, so they already have the experience to be present at the moment, connecting with their inner feelings.
That's Yunyan Hu, a counselor at Self Help, the senior center in Queens. She's using DBT to help her clients, and she says, as a Chinese person, a lot about DBT sounds pretty familiar. For instance, what Linehan calls emotional regulation is also a Chinese philosophical idea known as walking the middle path.
Walking the middle path is actually a concept from Confucianism, which means don't go to extremes. So, for example, people when they're angry, they're going to act very extremely, like yelling at people or even arguing with people, or sometimes they can, for example, not taking care of their own health. So walking the middle path means you're combining your rational mind, your emotional mind, you're trying to find a way which is mostly effective for you.
Yufen, the woman who is having problems with her sister and brother-in-law, has been in treatment for almost a year now, and she says it's made a big difference.
As the process went on, I slowly underwent a big change. It changed my whole mindset. I started to look forward to things, and my ability to control my moods became stronger.
She says she doesn't feel so hopeless these days.
I may be old, but as the proverb says, do not believe it is night when the sun has only dipped behind the mulberry trees. There's still the afterglow of the sunset.
Yufen is still living with her family, but getting out a lot more now. She's found someone who does need her, an older woman she looks after part-time as a home aide, and she's started taking English classes.
Yes. I will take care of nearly 90 older women, yes.
How old are you? Hmm? How old are you?
I?
Yeah.
I'm 66.
66.
Yes, okay. Not very old, I think. No, I can do a lot of things.
For The Pulse, I'm Jad Slaman.
The interview with Marsha Linehan that we heard in Jad's piece is from a YouTube channel. It's called Borderliner Notes. It explores borderline personality disorder.